Bible Answer Man with Hank Hanegraaff is on the air. Hank is the president of the Christian Research Institute, which is headquartered in Charlotte, North Carolina. At CRI, we desire to equip the body of Christ to defend the truth of the gospel and give reasons for the historic Christian faith, because truth matters. To find out more about the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Hank Hanegraaff, or the Christian Research Institute, call 888-7000-CRI. Or go online to our secure website at www.equip.org. And now, here's your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
We are delighted to answer your questions Monday through Friday right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Do remember the number to dial as always, 888-ASK-HANK, to get your question on air. That translates to 888-275-4265. We are a discernment ministry. As such, we are involved in a very unique ministry that is so significant for the times in which we live. If ever there was a time where people needed discernment skills, that time is now. Think of what you are being fed through the media today. Global warming, classic case in point. Should we spend trillions of dollars on the global warming problem as defined by the experts? How should we think about global warming? How do we learn to ask the right questions and ask those questions in the right sequence so that we can come to a true valuation of things? And what is the attendant problem with being wrong about global warming? What if we were wrong? What if the experts are wrong? What if Al Gore is wrong? For 200 billion, everyone on the planet today that does not have fresh water could have fresh water. In other words, if you have your eye on the wrong ball, there are dramatic consequences. So this requires discernment skills on the part of Christians. And this ministry is committed to giving you those skills. Not to be the hired gun in your place, but giving you those skills. Because once you have those skills, you're able to apply those skills as you listen to the media, as you read magazines, as you listen to music, as you listen to politicians. You can discern between wheat and chaff and heat and light. You have to learn those discernment skills. And so, for example, in a booklet that I did on global warming, which is available for your gift to the ministry, I teach you those discernment skills so you can apply it to a particular issue. You can learn how to think about these things. It's not about me giving you the answer. It's about teaching you answer the dilemmas that you face each day with discernment, godly discernment. And that way you don't just become a microcosm of the culture. You can really make a change in the culture. You say, I can't make a change, I'm only one person. Absolutely you can. In fact, you are either going to affect the culture for good or ill. It's not a matter of whether you might or could, you will. Therefore, as a ministry, once again, we are committed to the issue of discernment. And we ask lovers of truth to stand with us prayerfully and financially, because we can't do this job alone. You can discern that. The gospel is free. Someone has to put in the plumbing. We ask you to stand with us as a lover of truth. We do what we do because truth matters. You can do that on the World Wide Web at equip.org by writing me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271, or talking to our resource consultants at 888-7000-CRI. The bottom line is this. Internet lies today travel halfway around the world before truth has had the chance to put its boots on. So if you don't learn discernment skills, you are forever relegated to falling on the slippery slope of lies. A lot of questions. We'll go right to them right now. Debbie, first up in Tyler, Texas. Hi, Debbie.
Hi, Hank. Really appreciate your ministry.
Thank you.
My question is, in the Bible, King David, I was wondering if you were aware of or had any insight into maybe a biblical directive that he might have been ignoring regarding his polygamy. Was there only to be one king and one queen?
Yeah. In fact, the biblical patriarchs in Deuteronomy 17:17, which I always love because it's easy to remember, 17:17, were exhorted to not multiply wives. And the whole biblical ethic is one man for one woman. The biblical ethic is not polygamy, but rather we are to be committed to our wife, not wives. And so throughout the Bible, that particular truth is hammered home over and over again.
Do you think that when he sinned and said that he had, sinned against the Lord, that he also thought that maybe it was because of the polygamy issue, not just, I guess that was the whole thing, wasn't it? That he had so many wives?
Well, it wasn't the whole thing. But it certainly was a big part of it, because he had sinned with Bathsheba, not only sinned with Bathsheba, but he had Bathsheba's husband, Uriah the Hittite, killed on the battlefront. He had also taken a census, and because of that census demonstrated that he relied more heavily upon the arm of flesh than he did upon the arm of God. And so in Psalm 51, he does have this great prayer of contrition: have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. Blot out my transgressions and wash away all my sins. Again, plural. He had committed many sins, and he was intimately acquainted with his sin. He was no longer turning from his sin, because he had been confronted with the fact that he had been living in denial. He had to have a parable told to him before he realized that he had stolen another man's wife and killed that other man. He was in that kind of denial. But the beauty is, when he came to a true valuation of things, he cast himself upon God's mercy. He genuinely confessed his sin and asked for forgiveness, and God forgave him. Of course, the consequences for his sin never left. They followed him inexorably like night follows day. And so we see in Scripture that the sword never left his home. So he paid a dear price for his sin, but ultimately was forgiven.
Do you think that maybe he just he seemed to have a heart for the Lord, but then it was put upon him, as, you know, as Abigail came in, and then he was given Michal, or what was her name, Saul's daughter.
Yes.
Do you think he kind of just collected them?
Well, I mean, that's part of the problem, wasn't it? I mean, it was the problem not only for David, but David's son, Solomon. Solomon had, just think about this. He had 700 wives and 300 concubines. So you have 1,000 women, and the Bible makes it clear that many of these wives and concubines turned his eyes from the living God. And as a result of that, he began appeasing them by building idols to their gods and setting those idols up in high places in the land. So as a result of building strategic alliances with the nations around, by marrying women from those nations, he had strategic alliances, and again demonstrated that he was ultimately not trusting in God. He was trusting in the alliances. And so his many wives and concubines turned his eyes away from the living God. So yes, I mean, there are all kinds of ways in which we can be tempted by the world, the flesh, and the devil. And the point is, if we are and we fall, Well, he asked for forgiveness. And as Corrie Ten Boom put it, there is no pit so deep that he is not deeper still. He can forgive us, he can cleanse us, but there are consequences to our sins.
But what was the reference you gave again in Deuteronomy where the patriarchs had 17?
Oh, no, Deuteronomy 17:17, where we're told you must not multiply wives. But look, you see this at the very outset of Scripture. Jesus makes it clear that a man leaves his father and mother and is united to his wife, not wives, and the two, not three or more, become one flesh. You see that in Matthew chapter 19. And Jesus even refers to Genesis 2 in making his point. So the teaching throughout Scripture is not polygamy. Polygamy is practiced because the Bible shows even the patriarchs and the kings with all their warts and moles and wrinkles. But though it is practiced and the Bible gives us the unvarnished truth, it is not prescribed and it isn't pleasing to the Lord.
Thank you very much.
You got it. Thank you, Debbie. Appreciate your call. Let's go back to the phone lines. We'll talk to Pon in Salt Lake City, Utah. Hi, Pon.
Hi. My question is, do you remember when the disciple cast lots to pick the one to replace Judas?
Yeah.
And, in my life, sometimes when I have a hard decision, I get a quarter and I pray in Jesus' name, and if it's head, then I feel right about it, and I feel like that's his decision for me, because I want the Spirit to guide me. And, you know, it says that you can't serve money and God. And right now, I'm unable to make my career decision, because half of my heart wants to chase the money, because I'm a salesman. And then the other half, I want to serve the Spirit, because, you know, I don't want to live in the flesh. So my question, bottom line, is that okay to do that? Because I don't see nowhere in the Bible that says I could do that. You know, I don't see that in the Bible. And I just want to make sure that it's not just coming from me, but coming from God.
Well, what the Bible tells us is that you cannot serve both God and money. So you don't have to flip a coin about that. But the point is, there are a lot of things in Scripture, and I just talked about that in answer to the last call, that are descriptive but not prescriptive, which is to say the Bible describes all kinds of things. The fact that David had multiple wives is a description given to us in the Bible, but it's not a prescription for us to follow. So, you know, if the fool says in his heart there is no God, we don't say, oh my goodness, there is a prescription for me to follow. No, we don't follow those things. The Bible's warning us against those kind of foolish things. So I don't think that in a biblical ethic that chance plays a whole lot in the process. We know of a God who creates the universe not by chance, but with purpose in mind. There's a purpose behind everything. And we know as believers that nothing can come our way unless it first passes through the filter of God's love, and that all things work together for good to those that love God and are the called according to his purpose. So rather than flipping a coin, I think that you would be better served to get into the Word of God and get the Word of God into you, to learn biblical principles for conducting your life, to have godly counsel, people who have walked the path for a long time. In Pilgrim's Progress, you had Christian, but he had a faithful friend named Faithful, and walking the Pilgrim's Road with Faithful was very important to him because he had someone to exhort and encourage him to do the right things. And so you need the counsel of godly people as you are on your path to the celestial city, as it were. So I don't think that you want to make your chances by flipping a coin or reading a fortune cookie. You want to make your chances by grounding yourself in essential Christian doctrine, becoming a student of the Bible, having godly friends, and therefore being one who affords yourself of godly counsel on the path. We're all on that path, and we know that nothing happens by chance or by accident. This universe was not designed by chance. it was ordered by a rational, knowable God. And so we shouldn't try to emulate the evolutionary paradigm. We should emulate the paradigm which was posited by the creator of the universe. And the only way you can do that is by knowing his word. Do remember, again, this is a ministry supported by listeners just like you. I've written a little booklet. It's called Essential Christian Doctrine, and it's actually a flip chart. It's laminated. It gives you the essentials of the Christian faith in a memorable format and teaches you not only what we believe, but why we believe these things. It is available through the ministry of the Christian Research Institute. You can get your copy as you support this ministry by writing me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. You can also log on to the World Wide Web and order online at equip.org, or just by talking to our resource consultants at 888-7000 and the letter C or I. Will be right back with more of your questions, including answering KJV only.
Order The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season, which includes the accompanying classic guitar Christmas CD by James Cobb, for a gift to CRI when you call 888-7000-274 or go online to www.equip.org. Prayerfully consider lives you can impact when you give gift book packages specially priced in six packs or cases of 12. And also, don't forget to inquire about the personalized edition, the Heart of Christmas audiobook, or the standalone classic instrumental Christmas CD, too. Order now so you can begin your devotional on December 1st. Don't touch that dial. Hank will return right after this. For centuries, two questions have challenged the Christian faith.
In a world with thousands of religions and gods, why is Jesus the only way to salvation? How could a loving God, the God of the Bible, create a world filled with evil and suffering?
Based on Lee Strobel's best-selling book, The Case for Faith examines two of the biggest objections to Christianity: emotional barriers to faith that have challenged believers and skeptics alike. The Case for Faith DVD also includes more than an hour of specially produced bonus features that will help you face the toughest questions about God and the Christian life. Order The Case for Faith, The Case for Christ, and The Case for a Creator DVDs in the Lee Strobel 3-disc collection by calling 888-7000-274 or online at equip.org. That's equip.org.
One of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us now to pray." And he said to them,
"When you pray, say, 'Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth.'"
The Lord's Prayer. We can rattle it off by heart. But at the same time, how many of us now struggle in our prayer life, searching for an intimate fellowship with God?
As human beings, we want instant success, instant formulas. But God wants something else. He wants intimate fellowship.
Begin your personal, fulfilling prayer life with the Lord. Get your copy of The Prayer of Jesus by Hank Hanegraaff. Call the Christian Research Institute and order The Prayer of Jesus, 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-CRI. You'll also find it on our website. Just go to www.equip.org.
Can there be any greater joy than to commune in the secret place with the living God?
Believe it or not, even Santa can be saved. Far from being a dangerous fairy tale, Santa Claus, in reality, is an anglicized form of the Dutch name Sinterklaas, which in turn is a reference to St. Nicholas, a Christian bishop from the 4th century. According to tradition, St. Nick not only lavished gifts on needy children, but also valiantly supported the doctrine of the Trinity at the Council of Nicaea in AD 325.
Pre-order The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season by Hank Hanegraaff, with accompanying Christmas Carol CD for a gift to CRI when you call 888-7000-274 or online at www.equip.org. Don't forget to inquire about the personalized edition or The Heart of Christmas audiobook, instrumental Christmas CD, or quantity discount options. Rave reviews are coming in about Hank Hanegraaff's The Complete Bible Answer Book. Listen to what Dr. Ed Young, senior pastor of Houston Second Baptist Church, recently said.
First of all, it's a great book for apologetics. You have so many people out here who are secular-minded, and they get confused about obvious things. They question the historicity of Scripture, inspiration, revelation, etc. And this is a wonderful book for apologetics. Number two, it is a pocket commentary. You not only answer these questions simply, but you have a footnote. In other words, I want to know more. Number three, it's a daily devotional book. I would recommend that someone would take one or two or three of these and read it as a devotional doctrinal study. And number four, it's a terrific book for discipleship. I have given this book to literally hundreds of people. This is really a beautiful, beautiful gift book.
Get your copy of this 550-page leather hardbound book packed with many answers you need to more of today's challenging questions about the Bible and Christianity when you call 888-7000-CRI or order online in our secure website at www.equip.org. Also, for your gift of $100 or more, receive a personalized copy. And now, here's Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff.
Right back to our callers. Next up, Adam, Canadian listener listening in Edmonton, Alberta. Hi, Adam.
Hello. Okay, my question is about Bible versions, and I guess there's something that, you know, at first I heard about it, and I just kind of laughed about it, but I don't know, I've been in more discussions, and I just want to know what you think. I kind of got the feeling it's the type of thing that's not going to get solved in just one phone call or whatever. I'm going to have to think about it some more. But it's about the whole King James thing. And, you know, when I first heard about it, I just kind of laughed because I thought, what's so great about 16th century English that's better than today's? And, you know, but I guess the more I've talked to people, they say that it's not really about the English. It's about that the Greek behind the English that every Bible version that we have comes from Greek manuscripts that are corrupted, and that only the Greek manuscript behind the King James New Testament is the only one that's not corrupted. I don't know. I just wanted to know what you thought about that.
But. Yeah, I think it's an important issue, and for many people who adhere to King James Version only, their notion is that the King James Version is what's called an autographa or an autograph or an original, which is to say that the King James Version came down from heaven hot off the plates, and therefore we have to take every version and compare it to the King James Version, and if it doesn't match the King James Version, then it's been corrupted. But I think what you said earlier is instructive. The fact of the matter is, the Bible translations that we have today are based on manuscripts. And those manuscripts for the New Testament are primarily in Greek, and for the Old Testament in Hebrew. And so we have to look at the best manuscripts that are available for the translation work. Now, when King James I in 1604 commissioned the King James Version, which was completed in 1611, and by the way, he was a morally bankrupt individual, but he commissioned a tremendous project that has had a lasting benefit for the Christian world. It has had just an enormous, a lot of people want to discount the KJV because he was morally bankrupt, but that's not a good basis on which to discount KJV. I mean, you have to look at the authenticity of the work that was done, and it is great work that has withstood the test of time. But now, since 1604, many more manuscripts have been discovered, and we have information that he did not have, or the translators did not have at that time. And therefore, the new King James Version, as a classic case in point, is a more reliable alternative to the old KJV. So 200 years after the fourth revision of the King James Version, which came in 1769, we have the new King James Version. And it relies on the best manuscript evidence that is available today, which demonstrates, for example, that the Comma Johannium is beautifully true and therefore it is retained in the text, but there's a notation that this is not found in any reliable manuscript. So while it is faithful to what Scripture teaches otherwise, it is not to be considered a part of the authoritative text, in that it was a scribal addition to the text, which is, again, wonderfully true, but not part of the original manuscripts. And then you also have the evolution of language. Gay clothing, well, that's very connotative today. It meant, in Elizabethan English, it meant fine clothing. In modern English, the word means something different to us. I don't think I have to go any further in explaining that. And then you have words like prevent. Well, prevent meant to go before or precede in a denotative sense, but in a connotative sense, prevent doesn't mean the same thing for us. Or leasing. Well, today we think of leasing in a different way than they thought about it in the 1600s. In the 1600s, leasing meant falsehood. So we don't understand the language back then, and so the modern translators have given us the denotative meaning as opposed to the connotative meaning. And then there's a progress in our knowledge and understanding of the original biblical languages. So in the KJV, you have the word pim, which was used in 1 Samuel 13:21. In the 1600s, pim was supposed by KJV translators to refer to a file that was used to sharpen tools. Well, as a result of archaeological discoveries in the 20th century, translators now know PIM refers to not a tool, but a price for sharpening tools. So archaeology has helped us greatly and helped the translators greatly. So the modern translators have been able to do a better job than the predecessors did. But again, all these examples that I've given you are examples that have to do with style and not substance. So the KJV is a wonderful translation, but the newer translations are oftentimes much more consistent with the manuscript evidence itself.
And I guess, like, you know, like some of them go really far and almost say that, you know, almost like they think you can't be saved if you're not reading the King James Version or something, which obviously that's, you know, that's way out.
Yeah, but these people don't even know what they're talking about half the time. They say the King James Version of 1611, that's the authority. Well, they don't know that there were three versions in 1611. The original version had, in Matthew 26, the words, then cometh Judas, when it should have read, then cometh Jesus. The seventh commandment read, thou shalt commit adultery, when it should have been, thou shalt not commit adultery. As any author of any book knows, there are mistakes that creep in, and you have to have good editors to make sure that you edit out the mistakes. And so the next version edited out those mistakes. And but here's another thing. A lot of KJV-only people say, you know what? The KJV upholds the deity of Jesus Christ. The modern translations don't. Well, that's complete nonsense, but it's an argument that they use. You can flip that argument on them, because if you look at Titus 2:13, in the KJV it says, and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. The NIV does not render the text that way. It says the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ is explicitly called God. It's implicit in the KJV, explicit in the NIV, as it should be. So for KJV-only advocates, they have a tremendous amount of zeal, but unfortunately, it's not augmented by knowledge, and they're doing a lot of damage with their vitriolic statements.
Okay. So, I mean, it sounds to me like a lot of it comes down to, yeah, you know, like kind of, well, I don't know, whatever. I don't need to make too many comments, but I'm definitely interested and appreciate your comments on it for sure. So.
Well, you got it. We've written about this in various places. I have an article that appeared in the Christian Research Journal. There are several books that we recommend. You can find them on the World Wide Web at equip.org. So you have the King James Version only debate. You can read the book. And very, very helpful in helping you to sort out these things. But ultimately, when you get done reading the book, you end up having a trust as opposed to a distrust in the Word of God. And that's exactly what the KJV only advocates do, is they cause distrust in the Word of God. So they're telling people that the newer translations are corrupted and it creates doubt in the minds of people. It's simply not true. So what you end up having when you really come to a true valuation of things and look at the truth, as opposed to the skin of the truth stuff of the lie, you come up with a trust in the Word of God as opposed to distrust. And I think that's the key element. I want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Bill. He's listening on KUTR in Salt Lake City, Utah. Hi, Bill.
Thank you, Hank. I'm a longtime listener. I know you have talked about this before, but I just got a real quick question for you and some of the listeners.
Okay.
Our church is going through selecting deacons.
Mm-hmm.
And we always run into that same argument about deacons being married and about deacons should only have one wife, which is found in 1 Timothy 3:11 and 12. Just real quick, what's your take on that?
Well, I think the context suggests that the phrase husband of one wife would refer to marital faithfulness. But there's a broader context in Scripture that's very clear, and that is, any violation of marriage is prohibited, whether unlawful divorce or marital unfaithfulness or even polygamy. So the broader context of Scripture wants every man to be faithful to his wife and to his family. Of course, that does not mean that someone who has had sin before they became a believer is prohibited from service in the church. You have to, as a deacon, as an elder in the church, be committed to your wife and family, because if you're not, how can you be a model for the church? If it is a marital unfaithfulness that reigns in the leader of the church, it sets a pretty poor example for the church itself.
And then the situation I ran into is we have a candidate where he became a Christian, his wife left him, and then he remarried a Christian who was divorced and remarried.
Well, I think, again, all you had to do is look at 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And 1 Corinthians chapter 7 tells us explicitly that if an unbelieving spouse leaves, you're not bound in that circumstance. So if that's the case, he would not be bound in that circumstance. However, if the unbeliever wants to stay, then he is bound in that circumstance. So Paul's pretty clear with respect to that particular situation. Much more could be said, obviously. I'm up against the clock right now, coming out of a hard break. But if you want further information on this, I've written about this in various forums. We can try to give you some information off the air or have you look it up on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Do remember, Monday through Friday at this time, your question on air when you dial 888-ASK-HANK, and equip.org is a ready resource for answers to these and many more questions. So please use the World Wide Web at equip.org because it is information that you can trust in and rely upon. We'll be right back.
The Christian Research Institute offers numerous ways to get the answers you seek to tough questions about Christianity, cults, the occult, essential Christian doctrine, and more.
Hi, my name is Mark Driscoll, and I'm the pastor of Mars Hill Church in Seattle, Washington. Ever since I became a Christian in 1990, I've been a subscriber to the Christian Research Journal and an avid listener of the Bible Answer Man, and I have found it to consistently be a wonderful place to help answer some of the most basic but important questions that people have about religion, spirituality, and false teaching in our day. And so I'm exceedingly glad for Hank Hanegraaff and for Elliot Miller, my friends, and their ministry to the body of Christ, and just want to wholeheartedly give my endorsement and enthusiastic thumbs up for all of their hard work.
The value of the Christian Research Institute is in the combined resources of the Bible Answer Man broadcast, Primary Source Research, and the Christian Research Journal. One key way to support the work of this ministry and at the same time receive the answers you seek is to subscribe to the Christian Research Journal. You can subscribe today online at www.equip.org.
The Bible Answer Man will be right back. When Charles Darwin was writing his famed The Origin of Species, it was well known at the time that the first fossils of animals appeared suddenly and without predecessors. So there was a deep dilemma about what his theory told him to expect to find and the facts. Darwin's Dilemma on DVD explores the mystery of the Cambrian explosion and the scientific controversy that still surrounds it. Where are the missing transitional forms that Darwin's theory requires? Can any undirected evolutionary process explain the origin of animals? Filmed on four continents, this fascinating documentary examines some of the most important fossil discoveries ever made. The Cambrian explosion was actually an explosion of biological information, information that points unmistakably to foresight, purpose, and intelligent design. Order Darwin's Dilemma, The Mystery of the Cambrian Fossil Record from CRI by calling 888-7000-274 or online at equip.org. Christmas is the tremendous news that little baby Jesus came as God in flesh. Hank Hanegraaff has penned a hardbound devotional taking the truths of the Christmas story and turning them into traditions. In the Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season. Each devotion is beautifully presented and complemented with an appropriate Christmas carol and thought-provoking questions. The Heart of Christmas, a devotional for the season, is a collection of 25 daily devotions that are certain to inspire an annual Christmas tradition. This year, as you prepare your home for Christmas, prepare your heart as well. Pre-order The Heart of Christmas with the accompanying Christmas carols on CD for a gift to CRI when you call 888-7000-274 or online at www.equip.org. Don't forget to inquire about the personalized edition or The Heart of Christmas audiobook, instrumental Christmas carol CD, or quantity discount options to give as gifts to your loved ones and friends. That's equip.org.
From Genesis to Revelation, every word of the New King James Bible is performed in dramatic audio theater by over 500 actors and narrated by Michael York, with sound design by one of the top studios in the industry and scored with original music composed and conducted by Maestro Stefano Manetti. The Word of Promise Audio Bible puts the listener in the moment when Moses leads the children of Israel, Daniel walks into the lion's den, and when Jesus lives as man here on earth.
But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on, until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.
Order the Word of Promise audio Bible on CD or MP3 from CRI by calling 888-7000-274 or online at equip.org. If the Bible Answer Man has ministered to you, you have our faithful donors to thank for that. We regularly hear about changed lives and people equipped for good works through what God is doing through the outreaches of the Christian Research Institute. The continued regular, prayerful, and financial support from our Bible Answer Man monthly support team, the CRI Fellowships, and the President's Council is what keeps the Bible Answer Man on the air on this station. If the program has meant something to your life, why not call us and join our team? When you partner with us, you'll also receive special benefits. To join or find out more, our ministry phone number is 888-7000-CRI. That's 888-7000-274. And of course, you're welcome to join the team online on our secure website at equip.org. That's equip.org. And now, once again, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
We'll go right back to our phone callers. Next up, Jolene, listening on KKCV in Garden City, Kansas.
My husband, about 30 years ago, got involved with the Jehovah Witnesses. And 2 years ago, he became pretty involved in them, active, more of an active member. And I become a Christian. And we fight and argue all the time. And I just wonder if it's worth staying in a marriage.
Well, Jolene, that's obviously a very, very difficult situation, and you're in that marriage right now, and you need to stay committed to that marriage and pray that God would use the testimony of your life and love as a way of reaching your husband because he's involved in a cult. And because
he doesn't think so.
Well, he is. He's involved in a cult.
He says, I've got the truth.
No, he's involved in a cult, and it's a very dangerous cult. I know a lot about the Jehovah's Witnesses, and it's a dangerous cult both theologically and practically. Practically, their views have enormous implications on how you live your life and what you do, and certainly has led to the deaths of people. But it's also spiritual cyanide because they deny the deity of Jesus Christ, which is a foundational pillar of the historic Christian faith. So it's a very, very difficult situation, and my heart goes out to you. But God can give you peace in the midst of this storm, Jolene. He can give you peace, and he can give you the testimony of a godly woman that is able to pray for her husband, and he has the power to transform the life of your husband. And if not, he has the power to give you the patience and the peace in the midst of life's storms. Because, Jolene, this is a very difficult circumstance, but all of life is like that.
Yeah.
Life is one series of challenges after the other. And the Christian life gives us not a panacea, but peace in the midst of life's storms. And a heavenly Father that can carry you during the deepest and darkest valleys. So this is a real opportunity to see your faith lived out in practice. And who knows, Jolene, maybe you are the very instrument through which your husband will be reached. Maybe God will bring someone else into his life.
That's what I've been praying for.
If he left you, you would not be bound in that circumstance. But if he's willing to stay in the relationship, see this as an opportunity to save another person from the flames of hell. Because he is definitely on the road to perdition, not the road to the celestial city. He's following a false God and a false gospel.
But he doesn't think so.
Well, it doesn't matter what he thinks. He is. And you can know that beyond the shadow of a doubt. And because you know that, you see someone in a very temporary world headed for eternal separation from God. That is the most horrifying of all realities. As difficult as it is for you right now, that is the most horrifying of all truths. And therefore, in your heart, find compassion for a person who has rejected the God of the Bible. Because the Bible's very clear that Jesus Christ is not the Archangel Michael, that Jesus Christ wasn't a mere human being during his earthly sojourn, that he wasn't recreated after his death. He was resurrected. So what he has embraced is a false God, a false view of salvation where he's trying to work his way into God's righteousness, a false view of what eternity is anyway, where you have 144,000 people who make it to heaven and everybody else lives in an earthly paradise as though God has two people. No, God doesn't have two people. He has only one people that he has purchased with his blood from every tongue and tribe and language and nation and people that have inhabited the earth. So he has a very false view of reality. And whether he knows it or not, he is headed for trouble. And if you see someone you love headed for trouble, obviously you want to yell fire. And it becomes a difficult circumstance, and you're unequally yoked, and that makes it even more difficult. And so you have to pray that God will give you peace in the midst of the storm and pray for his soul, that God will bring people and circumstances into his life so that he will come to a true valuation of things.
Okay.
This is not an easy charge, but the Christian life is not easy, Jolene.
No, I know. I understand that.
There's no perfect situation.
He goes his way, and I go my way, and it just and we've been married 40 years in August, and it just doesn't seem like a happy ending, you know.
Yes, and in the process, you have to find solace, the balm of Gilead, by going to the Bible and immersing yourself in the pages of Scripture. You know what I would do? I don't know if you've ever done this, Jolene, but it comes to mind that maybe what you should do is attempt to memorize Psalm 139.
Okay, 113?
No, 139. Psalm 139.
Oh, 139. Psalms 139?
Yes. And just memorize it, meditate on it. And I think once you get that in your heart, it'll give you peace. I know that oftentimes when I have difficult circumstances, I go back to that psalm and I recognize that God knows me. He knows my going out and my lying down. He's familiar with all my ways before a word is on my tongue. He knows it completely. He's hemmed me in behind and before. He's laid his hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. And then the psalmist goes on to say, where can I flee from your presence? If I go to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. So God knows exactly what you're going through. And when you have his word in your heart, it will give you comfort and peace during the very difficult and trying circumstances that no doubt will come your way in the future.
Okay.
Okay?
Okay.
Jolene, my prayers are with you. If we can help you in any way personally, please let us know.
Thank you. I listen to you almost every day at our time, and I have him on when he comes home from work, and I've told him several things about several of the people that's been on there, and he goes, well, those are people that just weren't happy there. They just didn't like it and weren't happy, and that's why they got out. I says, no, they found Jesus Christ, a real Jesus.
Yeah, that's right. And again, sometimes you can't reach him with your lips, and you'll have to pray that God uses the testimony of your love in your life and that he brings someone else into his life that will teach him a true valuation of things.
Okay. Okay.
Jolene, you're a dear. God bless
you. Thank you. I appreciate it. I love your program.
Thank you, Jolene. I want to go back to the phone lines, talk to Forrest in Salina, Kansas. Hi, Forrest.
Hi.
How are you?
Yes, I've had a lot of trouble with this. I've had several strokes, so I hope you can understand me.
Mm-hmm. I can understand you.
Okay. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 33, you know what that says.
Yeah.
And so anyway, I did this over and over and over. I got so mad at Jesus, and I did that terrible thing, telling people that I don't believe in him anymore and that he don't want me and everything like that. And I feel like he is taking the Father away from me. Let me ask you this. I just don't know how to pray to the Father anymore.
Forrest, let me ask you this.
Yes.
Do you believe that you're a sinner?
Oh, yes.
Do you want to repent of your sin?
Yes, I ask over and over and over for forgiveness. And I just don't hear him anymore like he used to.
Right. Forrest, listen. Listen carefully. If you know that you're a sinner and you've repented of your sin and you've asked Jesus Christ to be Lord and Savior of your life, he is now Lord and Savior of your life. So you know that he is yours and you are his. He will never turn from you. You can fall, you can do things that you shouldn't have done, and what you did, you shouldn't have done. But look at Peter. Peter disowned Jesus Christ 3 times, and yet 3 times Jesus said to Peter, feed my lambs. So God forgave Peter, and he forgives you.
But I did so many times.
It doesn't matter. Do you love Jesus?
Yes.
Do you believe that he's Lord and Savior?
Yes.
Well, then he is yours and you are his. Whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has everlasting life. That's what Jesus Christ said. So your eternal destiny is based not on your feelings, but on his promises.
Even if I don't hear from him like he used to?
Well, you do hear from him. Go to his word. He speaks to you through the majesty.
See, I can't see anymore.
Well, do you have an audio Bible?
Yes, but I don't have anything to play it on.
Well, I'll send you something to play it on. And what I want you to do is just listen to the Word of God. Okay?
I want to do something.
Forrest, listen to me. He's not going to leave you or forsake you. And he's just answered your prayer because we're going to make sure that you can listen to the Word of God and listen to the promises of God. Okay?
Yeah.
This is the very fact that we had an opportunity to speak to you. I had a lot of callers I could have gone to, and I went to you, and I think God ordained that. And this is an opportunity for us to invest in your life, and this is an opportunity for you to see that God loves you. He cares for every detail that you're going through in a way that I can't even imagine.
I've had so many heart attacks and strokes, and I can't see either. You felt like he's mad at me.
No, he's not, Forrest. He forgives you. He loves you. He loves you just as you are. He doesn't love you because you're perfect, because you've done everything right. He loves you because you realize you're a sinner, you've repented of your sins, and you've received Jesus as Savior and Lord of your life. And now he can speak words of comfort to you through his Word. And we're going to make sure that happens, okay?
Okay.
You just hang on, okay? Don't go away. Someone's going to pick you up in a second, and we'll get that out to you. I'm out of time, unfortunately, for this edition of the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Sorry, I'm up against the clock. It's just the way it is. I will deal with Forrest off the air and get him what he needs. Remember, Monday through Friday at this time, you can ask your questions by dialing 888-ASK-HANK. That translates to 888-275-4265. Resource Consultants is always available when you dial 888-7000-CRI. And you can write me at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. Check out our information on the World Wide Web at equip.org. Out of here, out of time. Please pray for us. Pray for Forrest. May God give him peace in the midst of this storm. So long for now.
Thanks for joining us for today's program. Did you know that you can hear the Bible Answer Man daily or the best of the Bible Answer Man every weekend on XM Satellite Radio Channel 170 or take in the broadcast online through our website at www.equip.org 24 hours a day? Further, you can also listen to past shows which are archived for your easy access. For more information about how you can hear Bible Answer Man broadcasts, go to the World Wide Web at www.equip.org. That's EQUIP.org. The Bible Answer Man is a production of the Christian Research Institute.
It is reading and interpreting the passage in light of what the Bible says, not my imagination.
You've always appreciated the thoughtful, biblically based answers you hear from Hank on the Bible Answer Man. But how can you benefit from Hank's input and instruction in your personal quiet times? You can with the Legacy Study Bible. Hank Hanegraaff has helped to assemble what could be the most helpful Bible you've ever read. Informative and educational articles are written by Hank using acronyms that he regularly uses on the Bible Answer Man, including LIGHTS, showing how to understand the Bible, MAPS, demonstrating how the Bible is divinely inspired and preserved, DOCTRINE, summarizing essential Christian doctrine, and FEAT, an apologetic on Christ's resurrection.
Order the Legacy Study Bible, edited by Hank Hanegraaff, by calling 888-7000-CRI or online at www.equip.org. Don't forget to ask about the personalized edition.